Category 5 Holy Ghost storm waiting to explode in every atmosphere, in every situation, bringing faith, a hope, and love to a lost and dying world. So welcome, Ms. Sheila Mathis. Praise God.
Thanks. I've been described many ways, but I think that's the best way. So, my sister's not in here. She was supposed to be, but today is Heather's birthday. Yeah, and I'm going to tell her age. She's 44 today. Yeah. Doug's was Friday. He's 45, and I'm a year older than that. But anyway, thanks for having me here. But if you see Heather today, she's helping somewhere, tell her happy birthday. So she's the best sister ever. I'm just so excited. I'm so excited to be living now. I'm so excited to be a part of now. I'm so excited. I mean, when we went to the Walk for Life yesterday, there was excitement. You know, it was unheard of just a few years ago of people raising $500, an individual raising $500. And so when it became a thing of raising $1,000, when the first person did that, they were just, it was like they were blown away. And then it was like, you know, it's possible to do more. And so then what started happening is they start as a group, because we're part of this group, we're talking. And they're asking, you know, what makes you successful? What makes you over here successful? What makes you over here successful? And the thing that Heather and I just stood on was, well, we just hook up with you and you share the word and we grab a hold of that word and then we ask the Lord, what's our part? And we do it. You know, because you can get into gimmicks. You can get on, you know, if your sign is this color and everybody wears this color on this day, that worked for so-and-so over here, and that will make you successful next Sunday. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I mean, I've heard whole messages about if ministers will take their ties off, they will increase by 20%. And I'm like, really? Because I see newscasters with ties on, and they've got stadiums full of people. So that just seems odd to me. Why can they wear a tie and ministers shouldn't? Oh, now you got quiet. But you know what the difference is? It's one word from God. It's the word of God that you hear and is revealed. And faith comes, and you grab hold of it. So that's what, at New Hope, that's what started. We're all sitting there, and we're all talking, and Miss Beth each year gets a word from God, and that becomes her theme. And then so they'll have the marketing person get up, and this, and then they'll have this part, you know, the organizer, and this is what you do, the forms and fundeasy, and they lay that out because they want to be organized and well put together. It's all part of it. And then Beth gets in there and she gives you that heart, something to grab hold on, to believe. And all of that working together produces much fruit for the kingdom of God. And so it's sort of what I want to talk to you about today. And it was exciting yesterday because there were people there and there was this one man and he had it in his heart to do $4,000. $4,000. And yesterday I walked up to him and he had this big old smile on his face. I said, "Brother Ron, did you get your $4,000?" He goes, "Yeah, I did." He goes, "It's the easiest thing I ever did in my life." I was like, "Praise God." 2 years ago it wasn't, but today it was. What was the difference? It was faith, and faith comes by hearing and standing on that promise and standing on that word and cultivating it and putting life to it. And so anyway, it was an extremely fun walk. But being a part of faith is fun. And watching things grow is fun. And seeing the needs met is fun. And it's freeing and it's encouraging. And you're out there, and there are people out there walking that can barely walk. We got behind some of them. And they're like, "I'm sorry, I'm keeping you behind." I said, "You're not keeping me behind. This isn't a race. You're making a statement. You're out here by faith. You're doing something." I said, "You're tremendous." I was like, "We can go around you. Who cares? You're not bothering me." And this woman, it was amazing. She stuck to it. And when we were leaving, she was sitting on the bench. And I was like, "Praise God. She made it. Oh, hallelujah." She's walking with a cane and has someone on either side of her. But she made it. You're going to make it. Doesn't matter how you're walking. What's your word from God? You grab a hold of it. You release that faith to it. You're going to make it. So that's what I want to share with you today, I believe. We'll see how it goes. So I have all the Bibles here today. I think the last time I preached, I had to make John go out to the car to go get my other Bible. But I got them all today. So we should be in good shape. Let's pray real quick. Father God, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity. Lord God, I just pray, Father, that you have an anointed word for us, that we receive that word. We have open hearts and open ears to hear your word, to receive your word, and that we're good ground and it produces much fruit in our hearts and for the kingdom. Because that's what this is all about, your kingdom, building the kingdom of God. We thank you, Father, for it. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. So sometimes when I stand here and I minister to you, the anointing that is on this church and on the pastor is what I'll operate on and is in a teaching anointing. But pretty much day in and day out, that's not how the Lord uses me and I operate. Also, all my life, all I've ever wanted was the anointing. I want to be near the anointing. I want to be around the anointing. When it talked about double anointing, I want that. I don't know what that looks like, but I want it. If it's double of that, I want it. It's like a double ice cream cone. I always want the double. I mean, who doesn't? You know, and if you go, "I don't, I just like a little," good night. Don't go to ice cream with me. I want the double. I want that double scoop. I want that double anointing. I've always wanted to be up front. As a teenager, I sat on the first or the second row. I sat up close. I want to be where I can see and I can hear and I can know. I remember being at Oral Roberts University. I wanted to go there. He was a healing evangelist, Brother Oral Roberts. From the time I was little, I'm talking 5 years old, watching their program, and they were putting the praying hands onto campus, and they were showing it on their television show, and I was at my grandparents' house, and we were watching it. We always watched it at my grandparents' house, and I'm sitting there, and I'm seeing it. I was a little kid. To me, that was God's hands. Because, I mean, they were huge, these praying hands, they were huge. And as a little kid, all I knew is I wanted to go and sit where those hands were. I could picture myself crawling up and sitting in those hands. I almost did it when I was at ORU, but I didn't. I was scared I'd get a $50 fine because the wages of sin at ORU was $50. And so, anyway, so yeah, still like that. Yeah, wages of sin was 50 bucks. And so, had to pay that a couple times on curfew, but that's okay. So, anyway, I could see myself, I could picture myself, and I wanted to be there at 5 years old. And that's how it dropped in my heart, because that was anointing. And I saw Brother Roberts. And so I remember being on campus when it finally happened, and I was on campus. I was at the first meeting where Brother Roberts came back and spoke on campus because he had stepped down. He had had a heart attack and he had had some things. He had stepped down and Richard had come on. And when I was there for Richard's first year as president. And so I was at the first service where Brother Oral Roberts came back. And that was a standing ovation of oh my gosh, it just went, it was a while. I mean, it went on and on and on. Oh, and he stood in the pulpit and he said, something good is going to happen today for you. Something good is going to happen today. And he said, and we went nuts. We went nuts. But I was sitting there and I'm like, I'm in the perfect will of God. In this moment, I have that knowing. I am in the absolute perfect will of God. Are you in the very perfect will of God? Do you know what his will is? And if you don't, you can. It's by the anointed word of God. The anointed word of God. Let's go to Romans 10. Thank you for the one yay. Listen, I know when I stand up here, it's different. Y'all respond differently than you do with pastor, and that's okay because nobody can take pastor's place. I've been called to work with children. I very rarely work with adults. I've never had the desire to work with adults, but I do have the desire to help Pastor Mark. So anytime he needs help, I'm there. I don't care what it is. And I've done an array of things here. So whatever it is to help the ministry, that's what we're called to do. That's what John and I are called to do. So we've worn many, many hats. But day in and day out, the gifting and the calling of God for my life to be a part of this church has always been in the children. And I've worked, I think, every single department, zero all the way through and now over the school. And so if you would have asked me several years ago, were you called to children? I said, well, I was called to teenagers, and it's, you know, now I'm teaching, I'm in high school, but yeah, teenagers. And I've always just, like I said, I desired the anointing. I want to be where the calling is. I want to be where the anointing is, not position. So I hadn't really thought of things that way. But now I can say, well, I'm called. And the main part of the calling is to children. And God has graced us there. But how does this all come about? And that anointed word. And how do you know something in your heart? And then you get to the end. And then, you know, I can stand on the word. I've got the word. We stand on the word. But what word is it that God is speaking to you? What makes the difference? The anointing makes the difference. So what word are you standing on? What's making that difference in your life? And why does it work for some and not others? I stood on all the verses. I carry my Bible around. What is it? Well, let's read. Romans 10, and I'm going to start in verse 13. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking him as Lord, will be saved. But how are people to call upon him who they have not believed in, and whom they have no faith, or whom they have no reliance? And how are they to believe in him, adhere to, trust in, and rely upon him, of who they've never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men be expected to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. How welcome is the coming of those who preach the good news of his good things. But they have not all heeded the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed, had faith in what he has heard from us? So faith comes by hearing what is told. And what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. Faith comes by hearing the spoken, revealed word of God. And it's heard in here, in our hearts. It comes alive. How are you going to hear it? It matters where you sit and who you sit under. And it must be preached by an anointed man, woman of God. And we must hear that word. Can it come from reading? You can read the word, but you have to hear from the Lord God. He'll speak it to your heart. It has to be spoken to you, because it says faith comes by hearing, and it comes from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself, the anointed one. In the Young's literal, it says faith is by a report, and the report through a saying of God. I was thinking about report, and I was thinking about the children of Israel, because we were talking about what made the reported evil report. Well, they didn't believe God's report. God gave them a report. God gave them a word. What is God's report for you? I think too many times we will catch on to what somebody else is doing, or how the Lord used someone else, or the word that he gave to someone else, and we try to catch a hold of that and make it our word. But the Lord has a word specifically for you. So important. It's so important to be in a place of hearing. Because right here it goes through, how can men be expected to hear unless they hear? And how can they preach unless they're sent? It's all tied together, the preaching of the word, the sitting under the preaching of the word, and the being sent out. It's kind of like what we're doing with New Hope. How are people in the community going to hear? Faith is a report. It comes with a report. It's a by a report. And the report through the saying of God. I want to know what God is saying to us. What is God saying to us? According to John 5:19. This is important. According to Jesus 5:19, it said, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. I don't need to know what not to do. I just need to know what the Father wants me to do. You know, sometimes people will be praying, they're just, you know, I'm just praying, see what God, if God tells me not to do something. No, you just need to know if God's asking you to do something. He only did what the Father told him to do. What's the Father telling us to do? Well, why don't you go and heal all the sick in the hospital? Well, Jesus said this. This is at the end of the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. You know, there were porches and porches of sick people there. Pastor was preaching on this the other day. There were porches of people sitting there. And he healed the one man. You know, there was the stirring of the water and someone needed it. And he said, there was nobody to push me in. He didn't even look up to Jesus and say, could you? Or can you heal me? Or could you touch me? But the Father must have told him to tell that man to get up and walk and be healed. And then he walked on. If Jesus couldn't do it then, what makes us more special to walk into a hospital and set them all free? Because God didn't tell us to. I'm going to do what God has called us to do. Is everyone called to be healed? Yeah. Is it God's will that all men are healed? Yes. So it's important that the word be preached and that it be shared and that we do our part to share the word. What is the Lord speaking to you? You share that word with the person next to you, or you get them the CD, or you point them in a direction. But they need to hear, and we need to hear what the Lord is saying to us, because it's the anointed word that makes the difference. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. And I can sit there and go, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. And I need to get to the other side of the lake. I think I'll just walk across it. But did God tell me to? That's fake faith. And I think too many times we're having fake faith. Pretend faith. We're pretending and it's not real because we're not acting on an anointed word that was spoken directly to us by God, a revealed word, a spoken word. And I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be pretend because it harms people and they get all confused and I get confused. I remember when we're standing for my brother-in-law and that he'd be healed. And then I knew, I heard from the Lord. It wasn't going to go the way I wanted. It just wasn't. And so I had to let it go. And I had to change course. But I'll tell you what, I did it and I wasn't confused. And I didn't have pretend faith. And then I didn't have to go around telling everybody, well, I don't know why. I know why. We know why. We're not in confusion on it. And it didn't even matter if I did know the why. I wasn't told to do it. It wasn't that he didn't tell me not to, but he didn't tell me to. That's all I got to know. What is the Lord telling us to do? What is the Lord telling us to do? We've got to hear in our spirit. We got to hear that inward witness in our spirit, something that catches on. That word must be spoken by God, and it needs to be a revelation that is ministered to us through the reading of the word, through the sharing of the word. And then we need to pray it out. Pray it out. Back in May, I was speaking on Mother's Day about embracing God and embracing his word. And I was looking at Habakkuk, which means embrace. And he's asking the Lord some hard questions because they had just gone through this really wonderful time with Josiah being the king. And now they were having a really hard time under a different leader and things weren't lining up and it wasn't the way he thought and it was difficult. And he's like, Lord, where are you in this? And he's looking very horizontally, but he's calling out to God. And God calls his side up vertically. God calls his side up and he says, I'm doing a good thing. And so then Habakkuk kind of like, you know, okay, Lord. So he's talking it out with the Lord. And he said, okay, I hear you. If I need to be corrected, I'll be corrected. I'm going to stand my watch. I'm going to stand here and see what the Lord reveals to me. That's so important to stand and see and wait and see what God's going to reveal to you instead of going over here and going, what's going on over here? What's going on? This can't be God because it's horrible. And where is God? And wait, what is that I hear? Are my ears being scratched over here? Do I feel a little itchy over here? Let me go. Oh, somebody's saying something that feels good to me. That must be God. Oh, give me a break. No, we've got scripture that tells us a different way. And Jesus didn't do that, but that's what happened to Peter. Peter was like, he's like, I'm going to be laying myself down. You know, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter goes, no, Lord. Peter thought he was acting in faith. Peter's like, no, Lord, I'm going to go the mile with you. I'll never deny you. How many of us could have said the same thing? He's like, no, Peter, you need to come watch and pray. And he fell asleep. And Jesus is sitting there praying something out. He's exchanging his will. I got a small glimpse about exchanging wills this last year. Small. Listen, I don't have to lay my life down for the sins of the whole world. I didn't have to be forsaken by Father God. So, you know, to say that I identify in that with Christ, I identify with Christ, but we will never know. We will thank God because he did it. He did it for us, so we don't have to. I mean, can you even imagine? My God, why is thou forsaken? We can't say that. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But Peter is, I'm going to go with you, Lord, all the way to the end. I've got you, Lord God. I got your back. And he strikes out and what he thinks is, you know, great revelation of, I got your back. And Jesus says, I'll go with him. Threw him off his rocker. Sometimes things don't go the way that we think. But what we need to do is go back to where Jesus was, of that exchanging of his will, where he prayed. Because then he got confidence and stability. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord God. Your will be done. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came upon him. Well, it was already with him. He had it without measure. But it rose up, and he exchanged his will. And what happened there was, I'm going to the cross. And he wanted to. He wanted to for us. He had the anointed word. He was the anointed word. But he said it constantly. I only do what my Father says to do. I only do what my Father says to do. And when the time came and he was having that little bit of a struggle, he said, I will to do your will. We got a will to do the Father's will. We got to pray it out, as Habakkuk said. And it said, he said, I stand to be corrected. I know I'm quoting a lot of things, but I've got a, it's like this. I'm trying to get here. And so Habakkuk, and then the Lord came back and he said, write the vision. It's for an appointed time. All of a sudden, God's word comes to him. And he says that though it tarry, wait for it. And the just shall live by faith. So now he's had the word of God. He's got something to hold on to. And he starts praying it out. The next part's praying it out. And then he transitions over into praise. Though it doesn't look, though my crib be empty, though this, I have no, I will praise you. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He changed course. How? Because he heard the word of the Father. Get the word for your situation. And pressure is of the devil. Pressure is of the devil. The devil will immediately come to pressure and get us off course. Let's go to 2 Timothy because I alluded to that. Lord, I thank you. You bring all of this together. Second Timothy, I'm going to start in verse 3. I am going to read out of the Amplified. So, 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. Now you have closely observed and diligently followed my teaching, conduct, purpose in life, faith, patience, love, steadfastness, persecutions, sufferings, such as occurred to me at Antioch. And I don't know how to say that word. How do you say that? Iconia? Okay. And at Lystra, persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ will meet with persecution, will be made to suffer because of their religious stand. This is going to happen. It shouldn't shock us. But wicked men and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and leading astray others and being deceived and led astray themselves. We need to be careful of imposters. God calls them wicked. We don't need to be deceived and led astray. We need to delight and stand with those that God has called us to stand with. But as for you, continue to hold to the things that you have learned, of which you are convinced, knowing from whom you've learned them, and how from your childhood you have had a knowledge of and been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you and give you the understanding for salvation, which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, through the leaning of the entire human personality on God in Christ Jesus and absolute trust and confidence in his power and wisdom and goodness. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is the Word of God important? Yes, because it thoroughly equips you. It settles you. It completes you. It makes you proficient. It makes you a good soldier in the army of God. But to go back to where you've been trained and who has trained you and where God has positioned you. And then it goes on, and I love this. I charge you in the presence of God, of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by in the light of his coming and his kingdom, herald and preach the word. In the New King James, it says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And skip down, it says, preach the word. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong, and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning, urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Can you say that we have that in our pastor? I can honestly say, before God Almighty, standing here before you today, from the time that I have known my father in ministry as pastor, from the time that I know that he made that effort and went to Rhema Bible Training Center, I have a memory that goes all the way back, sitting in the room with chicken pox, being spoke the word of God over us, watching them dry up on my body, speaking to fevers and they go. He started in the home, then he went out in Tifton, Georgia, in anywhere, Bible studies, anywhere, Bible studies, in homes, in the pulpit. And I can say this for a fact, when it was convenient and when it was inconvenient. Because there were many people in our home when it was inconvenient. I have shared beds with people, given up beds, whether it was welcome or unwelcome. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in the way their lives were wrong and convince them, rebuking, correcting, warning, urging, and encouraging them. Being unflagging and inexhaustible. I have never, ever in my life heard my parents say I'm exhausted from doing the call. Never. And you talk about patience and teaching. Whew. Thank God. What's the point? To build them up? No. The point is to say, this is who end times we need to be a part of. Those that we see have made a life of this. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather themselves, one teacher after another, to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. As for you, be calm and cool and steady, accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Don't get wrapped up in the time. Hearing this and that, and oh, I like this over here, and I like this over here because I don't like the times and I don't like what I'm seeing. No, do as the word says. Stay cool, stay calm, stay steady. And don't gather up all these errors and all these things that are going on in our world. There are a considerable number of voices. Considerable. Speaking gratifying things. Makes us ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha. I like that. Have you heard what they said? Have you heard what they said? Vaccine, no vaccine. War, no war. Trump, no Trump. Biden, no Biden. I don't need to hear all that. I need the Word of God. I need to hear what the anointed Word of God is for right now. I need to hold steady. I need to see the work of evangelist. I need to do the work of an evangelist. I need to hear what God's word is saying to me. I've got it right here, and I know how to go forward. I get diagnosed with COVID, whether you think it's real or not real. You get sick. How's that? You get sick. I need to know God's word for me in this situation. What am I supposed to do? I know that by his stripes, I am healed. What is my steps in this, Lord God? You have a little unction of the Holy Ghost. It's good for you to take something for. I need to take something for it. If you don't get results, you need to go to the doctor. That's what pastor's been preaching on. You need to pray. You need to get results. And if you don't, you need to go. And don't wait. Because then you're going to get off into confusion. Get all goofy. It's not the time to get goofy. It's not the time to get itchy ears and start collecting for yourselves. You just need one word. Stay steady. Stay strong. Stay diligent. And don't make a religion off somebody else's thing. You know, in 2 Kings, we see Naaman went and the prophet told him to go dip in the waters in the Jordan. He said, go dip 7 times and you'll be clean. And he thought that was nonsense. But that was the word of God for him. And they said, if he would have told you something else, would you have done it? Well, yeah. We came here for this. You might as well do it. He did it. Do you know there was probably people that started going and dipping 7 times in that Jordan because it worked for him? We can't make a religion off that. Then in Mark 7, it says Jesus put his fingers in the ears of a man that was deaf. It says he was deaf and mute. It says he put his fingers in his ears and he spat on his tongue. I wonder how many ministries came out of that where they started spitting in people's mouths and sticking their fingers in their ears. If that's all it took, then everybody would be able to hear. But that's what God told Jesus to do in that moment. He didn't have a finger in the ear ministry. But in that day he did. Then in Mark 8 it says he spit on somebody's eyes. Spit right in his eyes. If that's all it took and you can't see, let's get up here. I'll spit all over you. That wasn't it. It was what God told Jesus to do in that moment. John 9, it said, spit and make clay, then go and wash. So I could just see somebody standing there going, right here is the spit of Jesus and the magic clay, the miracle working clay. You put this on your eyes and you will see. $9.99. But see, that's what we do. Maybe somebody, the children of Israel, when they were in captivity, they were under the Babylonian system, they're in captivity. You talk about, they didn't have a choice. They did not have a choice. In captivity, they were supposed to eat all the king's delicacies and do all this, and they were going to be their wise men. They were told what to do. They got a word from God. Boy, they needed to know that it was a word from God, because to go and say, we're going to do something different. And this guy liked to kill all the wise men. I mean, that's what he was threatened to do to them. If they don't tell me what I want to know, they're all dead. They got the word of God and they said, we're going to eat this way. And at the end of this time, if we're not wise or we don't have the anointing with us, we'll go from there. Is that all? And they say, all right, we'll do that. We'll agree. We'll agree with you. But then people want to make a whole diet off of it. If eating fruits and vegetables made everybody wise, I'd have some really smart kids in the school. And I'll tell you, I got some kids that eat nothing but fruits and vegetables, and sometimes they struggle. And you know what helps them? A word from God. How to deal with them and how to help them. They could take all the vitamins in the world, and they can eat all the fruits and vegetables in the world, but that doesn't make them the wisest person on the face of the earth. You got to have the word of God for your situation and not make it whatever all this is. Man-made fictions, myths. I'm fully convinced that you could take the exact same cancer treatment that Pastor took and it not work for you like it worked for him. Unless God spoke to you to do it. He was on a trial thing, case study or whatever. And he told them, my results, it's going to mess up your case study. Because he had the word of God. Maybe somebody did rub mayonnaise on their wound and it healed up like that. But maybe God told them, go in there, you get that mayonnaise, it'll be anointed by me, you rub it on you, and you'll instantly be healed. You know what I would do if I was that person? I'd go rub mayonnaise on it. But that doesn't mean from here on out I'll be rubbing mayonnaise on my wounds. Stop running from source to source. Follow close to the mantle. Follow close to the one that God has brought you in to hear the word, because that hearing of the word brings faith. Stay close to, keep your eyes on, keep your ears tuned in, keep your spirit connected to where God has placed you to hear the report of God. Because hearing God's report is what brings faith. It's not about making so that we have all the numbers. It's about where God has placed you. And you can hear the uncompromised word of God. So faith comes alive and you grab hold of it. And the story of Elisha and Elijah in 1 Kings 19:16, there was a word, the Lord spoke to Elijah. I'm gonna close it up, I think, here. I pray the Lord is helping us today. 1 Kings 19:16. The Lord is speaking to Elijah, and he tells him also, you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimsha. I know this is important. They're in here for a reason. It's hard to pronounce these things. As king of over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel, and you shall anoint as prophet in your place. So the word of God came to Elijah. So we go to 19, and it says, so he departed from there, and he found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. This was significant. That mantle was, this is the anointing is following after you. the anointing is coming on to you. You're called to be with me. And then Elijah passed by. And so then he said, let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back, for what have I done to you? Elijah is basically saying, I'm following what God told me to do. What you do from there on, what's that got to do with me? That's between you and God. But Elijah went back, and he turned back from him, Elisha did, and he took a yoke of oxen, and he slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he rose and he followed Elijah and became his servant. I love this part because he liquidated. He liquidated. He slaughtered the oxen. He got rid of his equipment. He liquidated. In other words, he's saying, I'm all in. I have nothing to turn back to. I'm all in. And he took up being the servant, and he stayed close. He throws it on him, and then he liquidates. And then in 2 Kings, why? Because he had a word of the Lord. In 2 Kings 2, in verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he went down. He could have left. Elijah told him to stay. Do you know why Elisha did not stay? Because he had the word of the Lord to follow Elijah. If he would have stayed, it would have been detrimental to him. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master? There were other prophets. They're all coming. Don't you know he's going to take him away from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will stay away from, will take your away from, let me start over. Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at the distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. And now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them into pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and he struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. Now, when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, "Look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain into some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." And when they urged him till he was ashamed, it was almost embarrassing how much they urged him. He said, "Fine, send them." Therefore, they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but they did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say, don't go?" This passage to me is the most, it might be my favorite passage, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, because it speaks to me. God called John and I to help Pastor Mark in Cleveland Christian Fellowship. And we're to stay close. If you're here, God's called you to Cleveland Christian Fellowship and to stay close. But there might be other prophets around going, "You can stay. Just stay here." Elijah might even be saying, "It's okay. If you want to stay, I'm going to go on, but you stay." He said, "No. I'm not staying here," because he had the word of God. And then he finally turned and said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want a double anointing." He was seeking the anointing, not the position. But because he sought the anointing, it created position. He then became the prophet of the land, not a prophet, the prophet. And when those other prophets were like, "Hey, where'd he go? Where'd he go?" He's like, "Oh my gosh. He didn't go this way and that. He didn't go after this one and that one. He stayed put." And when they were like, "You know, we couldn't find him anywhere," he's like, "I told you not to go." But he even told them, "Be silent. Be silent." We need to be like Elisha. We need to stay close. We need to keep our eyes fixed. We need to believe God for a double anointing upon this church and upon the ministry. We need to believe God that we have our eyes fixed, that we have the word of God. We know where we're going. And when others come and say, "Hey, come here, stay here, stay there. You know, you should just do this because it's not going this way." We go, "Be quiet, be silent. I continue on. I know. Keep silent. You should look over here. Yeah, I know. Be silent. Because as for me and my life, I will serve the Lord all the days of my life, and I will keep my eyes straight ahead, and I will follow close from where I get my word." And I believe God that there will be a double anointing. When my mom decided to retire, and we knew that it was me, I had to trade my will in, because I didn't will to be the one in charge. Sometimes people seek leadership. That's not me. I'd rather submit. I love to submit. It's so easy to submit. Don't do that. Okay. I'd rather submit. I don't know if I've always done it well, but it's a lot easier. Honestly, it is. If my husband made all the decisions, I'm fine with that. I am. He said, "Where do you want to go to eat?" I hate that choice. Just tell me, and then I'll say yes or no. But this really resonated in my heart to watch her closely. And I'll never forget the last day that she was up here. She looked at me, she goes, "You're not going to leave me." I said, "No." And I watched her pull away. And I was like, "Okay, God, I need that double anointing now, because it's time for me to pick it up and strike the ground." In your life, pick up the mantle of the word of God that has been handed to you and strike the ground with it and operate in what you know. And don't look to this one and that one, because you can get led astray. But operate in what you know and go back to your solid foundation. Because the anointed word of God makes the difference. Makes the difference. And when we look at the life of Jesus, he only did what the Father said do. And I want to be like Jesus. And I want to be like Elisha. I liquidate to follow him, to follow God. So I just want to charge you today. Sell out. Be all in. You are. You're here. But don't let what could seem like other prophets and ministries scratch your ears. Don't be deceived. We're in the end of times. And it's important to stay true to our foundation. Amen. Amen. Well, I love you. Thank you for listening so well today. Like, I appreciate it, and it was an honor to stand before you. They're both pointing at each other. You want me to just end it then? Caleb, you got anything? All right. Well, we love you. We thank God for you. Teens, remember that it's the night at pastor's house. It will be fun. They're entertaining. And they will have something good. They're like, they are entertaining. Trust me. I grew up with them. They're quite entertaining. And so we work together. It's fun. So anyway, y'all come out. If you know teenagers and they're not here, drop them off. They won't have anywhere to go. And they can be at pastor's house and they'll have a good night. All right, we love you. Don't forget Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And we are going to hear more about faith, healing, and medicine. Did I say that right? All right. We love you. You're dismissed.